Welcome to Abide's Sleep Meditations. I'm Tyler Boss. Today's meditation is brought to you by our partners at Life Audio. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Head over to lifeaudio.com now. Remember, you can have full access to all our sleep stories commercial-free. Just text ABIDE to 22433 for 25% off the app. Now, relax your mind and body as we hear tonight's sleep story.
Hello, and welcome to this sleep story from Abide. I'm Lonane Lara, and thanks for joining me tonight as we listen to Godliness with Contentment. Tonight, we'll journey through a bedtime meditation on godliness and contentment. What higher gain can we possess? We will be searching through scriptures on this theme and coming back again and again to 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. The passage tells us, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." Nearing the end of his fruitful and history-making life on earth, the mature Apostle Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy, encouraging the young man to pursue what really matters in the grand scheme of life on earth. He's telling Timothy not to have his eyes set on earthly things, nor to seek worldly gain, because no human can take the worldly things with them into glory. Instead, in all of his advice to the younger missionary, Paul urges Timothy to put his effort and time and heart and prayers into the eternal things, the things that he will carry with him into glory, that being the lives and souls of those people in his care, and into the pursuit of godliness above all, to seek to be more like Jesus, and to be content in all things. We too can follow suit and take Paul's advice. We will experience godliness and contentment through this story tonight, as we expound through the scriptures and take an imaginative journey with a young Timothy. Before we start our journey with Timothy and search through the holy word of God, get into a space that you may experience the maximum level of comfort as you begin to fall asleep. Breathe in and out deeply and slowly. May this be the time in your day when you can freely take several slow, fulsome breaths into your lungs. Imagine your lungs expelling any stagnant air from the day. What has been done has been done. What has not been done has not been done. Let it be. Scan your body for areas where you may have collected any tension and stray from the day. Start with your feet. Let them rest limp and loose. Release any tightness from your ankles and calves. As you breathe, let go of any strain that you might be holding onto in your legs and hips and stomach muscles. Also in your back and in your shoulders. Inhale and exhale. Give permission to relax to your neck and jaw, your cheeks, your brows, and forehead. Slowly close your eyes. They have been working all day, and now they can simply rest and relax. You are held in the everlasting arms of your Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge and dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Breathe as you surrender all your cares to Him. 1 Peter 5, 7 in the Amplified Bible invites you to cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Now, your body's relaxing, and your mind is growing calm, and your spirit is yielding to the Lord. Join me as we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wonderful and loving God, I lift up the sleep of this most precious child to your tender care tonight. Thank you for always watching over them as they sleep and wake. Lord, would you saturate them with peace tonight? Deep peace and contentment in you. Thank you that you are their great gain. You are their greatest prize. Your presence with them is better than all the riches and wealth of the world. Thank you that nothing comes close to the deep contentment and satisfaction that you offer them. May they hear the story tonight and long for more of you, more of your love, more of your goodness, more of your spirit. May godliness be their life's pursuit, knowing that with godliness comes deep fulfillment. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who fills this child each and every day with newness of life. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to have your way tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, let us begin the journey into Paul's wisdom to Timothy. Listen in total relaxation as I read the passage again from verse 6 through 11 from the Voice Translation. "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." Let those first words sink into your soul. Listen for the gentle simplicity of Jesus' desire for you, His precious child. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." His desire for you is to seek Him and love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to find total contentment in Him, not the superficial contentment that comes from having a comfortable life with everything just how we want it, but a deep contentedness that can neither be bought nor stolen. A contentedness deep in your heart of hearts that comes from being in unbroken unity with the lover of your soul, Jesus Christ. It is indeed the contentment that the world cannot understand, because It is oneness with Father God through the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit. The contentment and satisfaction from being full of God. You, precious one, can enjoy that very kind of fulfillment. It is offered right now, every moment of the day. Regardless of how much or how little you possess, you can be content simply because you have Christ. Your Maker lives on the inside of you and fills you with incomparable joy and peace through your simple faith in Him. Pause as you allow His peace to take over every area of your heart. It is so soothing, so comforting. It brushes through your soul like a gentle breeze, brushing the grass on the prairies. It smooths and softens. It gently blows away the anxieties that have been trying to crowd into your mind. In the light of God's love, all those worries are blown to the four corners of the wind with this thought: how can we not praise our God? Our gracious Lord Jesus, we pause to worship You now. Though the struggles in our life are very real, You are more real. We want to spend our time in this life and in eternity turning our gaze on You, not on the cares of this world. Worrying will add nothing to our lives, but seeking You will add everything to our lives here and on into eternity. We want Your glory in our lives, Lord. We seek to please You as we pursue holiness and godliness. We have this confidence from Your word that when we seek You, we will most surely find You. As Jeremiah 29, verse 13 promises us, when we look for You intently, Lord, we will find You. And in Revelation 3, there's another great promise. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with Me. Gracious Lord, we gaze upon the splendor of Your holiness, as Psalm 145 says, on the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wondrous works, I will meditate. Thank You that as we pursue You and seek to be Christ-like, we will never miss our destiny. And at the end of our days, when we go to be with You, we will hear You say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." May we be godly and full of faith as we journey through the ups and downs of this fallen world. We can only do it with Your strength, through Your Spirit. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Give us the grace to persevere in godliness. May we not tire in doing good, for in due season, one day we shall reap a harvest of righteousness. We love You, Lord, and we echo the words of Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. It is in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we pursue God, we will grow in godliness. You may have heard the saying, "Show me your friends and I will show you your future." It is very true. And if you make your best friend and closest companion the Lord Jesus Christ, you will become Christ-like. So, precious listener, I adjure you to seek Him and find Him and walk in his ways and then become like him. The prophet Jeremiah gives us God's word in the Message Bible. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it. You will never be disappointed when you see God. You will never be turned away empty-handed. To be sure, sometimes we come to Him with requests that aren't in accord with His. But if we are open, He will give us new desires that align with His will for us. And His will is always far, far better than what we could imagine. Our Heavenly Father wants us not to be conformed to the pattern and type of this world, but be transformed by the pattern and likeness of His Son. 2 Peter 3:11 says, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness?" God knows the best for us is to pursue the eternal things, the things of heaven, to pursue Jesus and become like Him. And again, Peter writes in the first chapter of his second letter, "In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord, Jesus Christ. So, precious one, let us make every effort to respond to God's promise and grow in faith and moral excellence and every fruit from the Holy Spirit with godliness and brotherly affection. And as we grow in these areas, we will reap a harvest of blessings in this life and in the life to come. We will experience contentment in the simplicity of knowing Christ and being known by Him. There is no greater serenity in life. There is no better pavilion under which we can shelter in the storms of life. Psalm 27:5 promises us, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." His presence will go with you, and He will give you peace and contentment. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For He Himself is our peace." Or as another translation puts it, "For He is the embodiment of our peace." Thank you, wonderful Lord, that You are the embodiment of peace for us. You are the prize. You are the very thing that we want most in life, whether we realize it or not. May we cease the pursuit of things that don't truly matter, and may we set our sights on You, the author and perfecter of our faith. May we run toward You and away from earthly things. May we recognize You as our source of contentment, the well of living water that will never run dry on us or fail us in time of need. Jesus, make us like You so that we may experience deeper intimacy with You and know You more, even as You know us, and continue giving Your beloved child contentment in the night and contentment in the day. We love you, Jesus, and we want to honor you with our lives. Amen. Now, continue to rest as you and I take a journey into Timothy's room. We will sit with him as he opens the letter from his mentor and beloved friend, Paul. The location is Ephesus, and the date is something around AD 65. The room where Timothy sits is sparse, but homey. Barely any furniture adorns the room. There's a wooden handcrafted table and chair positioned at the window. A quill pen and several scrolls are strewn on the tabletop. They are illuminated by the soft hue of pale moonlight streaming in. The rest of the room is warmed by the soft light of some candles dotted around. In the middle of the cozy cottage, the hearth is lit by a comforting fire, making the house glow with red, orange, and golden lights. You can smell the wooden walls. The home is perfumed with cedar and sandalwood, fragrant and earthy. It must be Timothy's bedtime, but he sits in his chair by the fireplace, evidently poring over a letter. By candlelight and heartlight, he reads intently from a scroll of parchment. You hear him mutter snatches of the letter under his breath as he reads to himself. Paul, an emissary of Jesus, the anointed commissioned by order of God our Savior and Jesus the anointed, our living and certain hope, to you, Timothy, my true son in the faith. By the light of the fire, you see Timothy smile and almost imagine tears glistening in his eyes. He reads on. Our teaching about this journey is intended to bring us to a single destination, a place where self-giving love reigns from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a genuine faith. Timothy pauses and lifts his eyes to heaven and says, Oh my Lord, give me your self-giving love in greater measure, and a heart as pure as freshly fallen snow. Cleanse my conscience and make me like you. He rests in his prayer for a few moments of silence. Presently, he opens his eyes and reads on. Teach others to pray for kings or anyone in high places that matter, so that we can lead quiet, peaceful lives, reverent, godly, and holy, all of which is good and acceptable before the eyes of God our Savior, who desires for everyone to be saved and know the truth. Place these truths before the brothers and sisters. If you do, you will be a good servant of Jesus the Anointed, raised and fed on words of true belief, trained in the good instruction you have so clearly followed. Reject worldly fables, refuse old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself toward godliness. Although training your body has certain payoffs, godliness benefits all things. Holding promise for life here and now, and promise for the life that is coming, this statement is worthy of trust and our full acceptance. This is what we work so hard for. This is why we are constantly struggling, because we have an addressed hope fixed upon a living God who is the Savior of all humankind, especially all of us who believe. Timothy is nodding his head in agreement through the body of the letter, but before long, he comes to a section which says, But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. You notice that these words land on Timothy with force. He prays aloud, "Others can take the world, but give me Jesus. May I only have you, Lord. May I have you in your fullness. I love you, Lord." Seeing this and hearing this touches you so deeply. You add your prayers to Timothy's. Presently, the younger missionary comes to the letter's close with the final words of his father in the faith. "Oh, Timothy, protect what is entrusted to you. Walk away from all the godless, empty voices out there, and turn aside from objections and arguments that arise from false knowledge. By professing such knowledge, some are missing the mark when it comes to true faith. May God's grace be with you." Timothy rolls up the parchment. He closes his eyes and utters a prayer. "And may God's grace be with you also, dearest brother." He leans back in his chair, whispers to the Lord a few words of love and surrender, blows out the candle, makes his way to his small bed, and soon falls into contented sleep. The presence of the Lord in the room is tangible. The atmosphere is redolent with the peace of God. The holy presence of the Spirit of God is thick. You can feel it, even now as you come back to this time and this place, resting in your very own bed. Let the heavy peace of God rest on you and remain on you all through the night. He is with you as the embodiment of your peace and contentment. He is making himself known to you, and you are becoming more like him. Let his love fill you and flow out of you. As we draw this story to a close, let me pray a blessing over you with the words of 1 John 1:3 from the Voice Translation. "What we saw and heard, we pass on to you so that you too will be connected with us intimately and become family. Our family is united by our connection with the Father and His Son Jesus, the Anointed One." Amen. As we have learned tonight, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. May you experience that very same godly contentment as you sleep, precious child of God. Until next time, may you abide in Christ.